and we can ride the boogie.
Share that beat of love.
I wanna rock with you
all night.
Dance you.
Welcome everyone to the very latest Bolt from the Blue podcast. Guys, from despair to elation, lucky enough for us, Chelsea had Michael Jackson playing up front instead of Nicholas Jackson. But anyway, it was the FA Cup semi-final against Chelsea. And here to talk about it with me is Bernard Dineen. Bernard, how are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, I was saying off air before we came on, I was panicking because I couldn't download my Brighton ticket, but it took me about four goals to accept it. So I get all stressed. I'm very stressed. I mean, you know, watching City for all those years, you'd think I'd be sort of immune to it, wouldn't you? But no, I still get very stressed.
That is the name of the game, Bernard. That's the name of the game. But anyway, you were at this one, weren't you?
Yeah. I wasn't overly stressed at this one. I must admit, I might have been a bit bored at times, but I certainly wasn't overly stressed out.
Mm-hmm. How was the atmosphere?
I thought the second half.
How was the atmosphere, Bernard?
I'm up in the gods, of course. I'm the cheap seats up in the top tiers, and it's very, very hard to get anyone going in there. I mean, people say they get told to sit down. I mean, we had to sit down, which I don't like anyway. Of course, the only time I've ever stood up at Wembley, apart from when it was terracing, was, of course, the United game last season. So hopefully, when we get to that, I'll be able to stand up for the whole game, because it's odd, isn't it? I mean, you go to the away games and that's what we do. We never sit down when we go away from home for the away matches. Yet at Wembley, we all like little puppy dogs. Everyone sits down straight away as soon as the whistle blows for the kickoff. So, yeah, atmosphere. I think the 1894 had a section in the bottom tier, didn't they? And more noise was coming from there. And then, of course, the second half, for some reason, it was a bit louder, but I think we played better as well, so that probably helped. But it wasn't too bad. I can't honestly say Chelsea. I think Chelsea were a little bit louder at times, but overall, it wasn't our worst fan display. But you know me and Wembley and City fans, I'm never overly impressed with our atmosphere there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bernard, in the last podcast, we talked about the lineup, and I told you KDB would play. You wouldn't believe me, but I told you, and he did. So let's talk about the lineup.
Yeah, I'll give it out. I got eight. I was reasonably happy with eight. In fairness, I'm not going to quibble too much about that. Of course, Haaland was a big miss, but of course we might never see him again this season. That might be it. Now we might we might be false nines for the next seven games. Who knows what's going to happen? Anyway, the 11 was, as expected, Ortega, of course, in goal. I think Walker was expected at right back. Nice to see Stonesy, although it didn't last very long. Kanji, Aki, nice to see Aki back as well. Rodri, De Bruyne, Bernardo, Foden, and Grealish is predicted as well. That was another one. And Alvarez, if Haaland wasn't available. So I think, based on what's on the bench, Ederson, Diaz, Kovacic. Kovacic might have been unlucky not to get a shot at his old team. I think that would have been interesting. Doku, Gomez, of course, was never going to play. Nice to see Pep didn't just automatically stick Gvardiol in. Nunes, Bob and Lewis. So, yeah, I thought it was a reasonable team to do the job.
And looking at the Chelsea lineup, we had Petrovic, mucho gusto, Chalobah, Thiago Silva, Cucurella, that we were interested in for about
my
5
hero.
Minutes.
The guy I said we should get at City, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, we had Caicedo, we had Enzo Fernandez, who apparently was carrying a bit of a groin injury, but declared fit for this match.
Captain, well, they haven't got a big squad, mate, have they? That's the problem. They have to stick him in because the squad's too small.
Yeah. Captain is Gallagher, then Madueke, and then our old boy, young boy, Cole Palmer, and the aforementioned King of Pop, Mr. Jackson, up front. So let's talk a little bit about this first half. The BBC said that we were jaded and leggy and got through on muscle memory. What do you think, Bernard?
I'll tell you what, spot on, mate. I don't know what it is about Wembley, but of course the old Wembley and the new Wembley, I don't know if the grass is longer, but the ball always seems to take an age, doesn't it, to get anywhere. It's as though, when they kick it, they have to put twice as much power into it to get it to move along. And I thought during the game, I think Chelsea has a little where they fizzed it about a bit, but I think we struggled. We struggled to fizz it about the place, didn't we? It wasn't a smooth City. Gladio wasn't playing, was it? It wasn't a smooth City play, was it, really? I mean, KDB was under-hitting stuff. KDB was over-hitting stuff. And I think that's just Wembley. And it just seems to... That first error, you think about the couple of minutes when Cucurella, which we talked about, played that back pass. And I thought Alvarez was in. I thought Alvarez was going to run and get it on goal. But, of course, Silva beat him to it. But from our angle, when you watched it, he's on it. He's going to get it. And he didn't. And I think it's just something about Wembley. And I say it was the case with the old Wembley. And I think it's still the case with the new Wembley. I think it takes players time to adjust to the speed of the ball and the movement. I mean, of course, they must train on it. Are they allowed to train on the pitch, Mike, before the game? Or, they went up overnight, would they be allowed to go on it in the morning, or do they have to just turn up and play?
I know, I think they would be. I think they would be.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously they play for England, some of the guys, don't they? So they seem to be able to fizz it about when they're playing for England. But yeah, when club teams play, well, certainly City, I'm not going to say that for any other team, but I just think we take a little bit of time to adapt, I think, to Wembley, even though we've played enough there and it's Etihad South. I think the legginess, as you said, you touched upon there, I think there were... a lot of legs. But having said that, what was the excuse for a better second half? Because obviously, most of the same players, and yet we looked a lot livelier.
Yeah, I mean, an interesting first 15 minutes, I think. Luckily for us, Michael Oliver kept his cards in his pocket and gave some decisions that we'll talk about later in our favour. But they were coming off a 6-0 win against Everton, so they must have been confident. And it kind of looked that way, because whenever they win possession in the midfield and charge forward, they sort of looked a bit threatening. And they are, of course, our bogey team a little bit, Bernard, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously drawn twice with them this season, so there's no guarantees we're going to... Obviously, God forbid. I must admit, the time they were overtaking corners and set pieces, I thought they were playing for penalties from the get-go.
Yeah.
They were just strolling across. There was no urgency at all from Chelsea from, the fourth, fifth, sixth minute. They were just, when they got a corner, there must have been at least a minute or two passed before they actually took the bloody thing. So, of course, they were probably playing to try and get a goal and just hang on at that stage. Another Real Madrid business where they just wanted to do what they could. But Mr. Jackson, I don't know too much about the guy. I think he's been doing okay, but I think he left his shooting boots at home. I think, as you said, more like Michael Jackson or Jermaine Jackson rather than or Jesse Jackson, probably. Remember old Jesse Jackson, the politician?
Yeah.
A bit like him. He's one of these players that does so much so good, and then he just doesn't, he sort of lacks it, doesn't he, at the end of the final thing.
Mm-hmm. You see that that Cole Palmer, he's a cheeky bugger, isn't he? 10 minutes in, he tried to do a David Beckham from the halfway line.
Was he playing, Mike? I didn't notice Cole Palmer on the pitch, to be honest with you.
Well, he tried to chip Ortega from that centre circle.
Yeah, that was brave. That was brave. I think he had one of those where he cuts in from the right and tried to curl it with his left, didn't he? I'm not too sure when that was, but I think that was it. I don't really remember having much impact on the game.
Yeah, I would say after about 20, 25 minutes through to the end of the first half, it was a bit sort of end to end a little bit, and they obviously, if I'd been a Chelsea supporter, I would have felt quite a lot like us against Madrid, because they had chances. They had in throughout the game, they had some golden chances actually, but couldn't make it count, couldn't make it stick, eh?
I mean, there's a lot of unforced errors, wasn't there, by both teams? I remember the early doors when Walker chested it down beautifully and slipped, didn't he? Obviously, the Chelsea guy said, thank you very much. It was Gallagher, wasn't it, to tear off with it. And thankfully, as most things, it ended in nothing. Ortega made a nice couple of stops, did his bit. And I thought for a game where I thought Chelsea probably dominated it, I think was obviously more the second half where they got the clear cut chances, didn't they? I mean, Jackson just ended up shooting it or giving Ortega catching practice, I think, most of the time. And I don't think Ortega was too worried. I thought they edged it. I thought Chelsea edged that first half, but. Just not good enough to score a goal. And of course, half time, Pep's going to give them a good rollicking and we're going to come out firing, surely, for the second half.
Yeah, well, I suppose big moment of the first half on the half hour mark. And that was when Fernandes puts through Nicholas Jackson. Off he goes, running like an Olympic sprinter. He's shepherded out to the right.
Have you seen that picture, Mike, where everyone's behind him? And he looks as though, well, why can't he score? But obviously he's at an awkward angle. But I think he should have done better. In the same way, I think Foden should have done better, shouldn't he, with that? Was that chance from KDB? Was that the first half? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed to not to want to hit it with his right foot. I mean, he looked as though he had the opportunity when he took it round the keeper. Just to put it in with his right foot, but he just seemed not to want to, or it sort of got away from him a little bit, and he ended up obviously coming to nothing. I think it was the same with that, wasn't it? Was it a Stonesy error?
Yeah.
That caused it. And of course, Stones was trying to leg it back. Ortega had come out, but he had one stage where the player looked as though he was a couple of metres in front of Ortega, Stones, and it might have been Diaz, you know, and it looked as, you know, on the still, it looked as though, how did he not score that? But of course, he'd been pushed wide, and he had the, and on the opposite side, because obviously it was his left, it was as though he didn't want to pull the trigger either, as though he was scared of doing it. And of course, when he brought it back, it all ended in nothing. A very good chance gone. So very similar to me, both those, you know, the City and Chelsea breakaway, or the best opportunity of the halves. I thought they were quite similar in style. Both players perhaps missed a trick there.
Yeah, I saw the picture that you're referring to. It's remarkably reminiscent of that famous picture of Usain Bolt when he's winning the 100-meter dash, and he looks around and smiles at the camera as he's crossing the line. He's that confident with everyone training behind him.
We're not mentioning the United fan Usain Bolt on here, please. I believe he was at the match once. I don't know what he was doing there, but. I've seen pictures of him with City fans. Anyway, I wouldn't want a picture taken with him. He's a United fan. I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm. Well, not much else until halftime, and there was a halftime change there, Bernard, wasn't there?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Was he injured, mate? I've still not looked. Did he pick up an injury, Stones?
He seemed to be all right. Walking off.
When he was playing, obviously, I thought there was something wrong, because it was Akanji was making the moves into midfield, wasn't he? Which is what Stones would normally do. I would have expected Akanji to stay back and Stones to be making those runs. So for me, there was something not quite right for him not to be doing that. Why would he prefer Akanji playing that role to John Stones, who made it his own, of course, at parts of last season? Why would Akanji be playing that role of moving into midfield, leaving John Stones at the back? I think there's something wrong there. And obviously, I don't think it quite worked, obviously, because it's not often Pep changes things at half-time. That's why I think he might have felt something against Stonesy, and that's why I think we were talking last time about he might just become a little bit of a bit part player between now and the end of the season and going forward. We just can't rely on him. You know, you can't have a key player like that and you just can't rely on him. So I think we're going to see a lot less of him, I think, over certainly the next seven games, and certainly perhaps going forward as well.
Yeah. There was one fan on The Guardian there that said that at halftime City looked cooked. And I kind of like I kind of tended to agree, but it was all action sort of for about the first 10 minutes of the second half. And I think one chance that City had was the one for Foden. Shot blocked. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson had another chance, didn't he? He was found and he tried a curler towards the bottom right. And it's very similar again, wasn't it? Of course, Grealish went down that inside left channel across for Foden. And he hit it first time. I think it went through a defender's leg. So sometimes a keeper might not have time to react as quickly. But the keeper did well, I think, to get down to parry that one because he wouldn't have had much time to react to it. So, yeah, that was... First, apart from the one he had in the first half, Foden, I think that was our second biggest chance, I think, of the game. And that was 53 minutes.
And the second big moment of the game, 55 minutes. This is a free kick from Cole Palmer. And penalty appeals rejected. And obviously, social media went into a tailspin. At least the Royal Blue half, anyway, went into a tailspin about this. What did you think, Bernard?
Oh, well... If you think of the one we got against us last season in the final against United, I mean, perhaps we needed a little bit of payback for that one. The thing that annoyed me, Mike, was the fact that the wall split. That's what annoyed me, not particularly the handball, the fact that they didn't jump as a unit. I don't like that. We see lots of goals scored like that, don't we? We had one the other week, didn't we, where we scored the goal because the guys split, the wall split. It wouldn't have gone in otherwise. And, of course, I don't think that shot was going anywhere, was it? I think it was going wide of the post from Palmer. And it looked as though he put his arm back down again, but I think he was putting his arm back down to try and keep it to his side again. But, again, it would have been unfortunate for Grealish to have, the last two times in the FA Cup at Wembley, that he's been responsible for putting us conceding a goal from the penalty spot, because let's face it, Palmer would have probably scored because he's not bad, is he, at penalties. But yeah, VAR took a look. I think to add insult to injury, they didn't even get a corner.
it was our day.
We got a goal kick. I mean, that, you know, just talk about taking the mick. I mean, you know, I would have been a bit miffed for not getting the penalty, but they didn't even get a corner either.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's stick with Jack Grealish. Obviously,
I did say in my little comment that Jack Grealish needs to get shorter arms. That's his problem. He needs to get shorter arms based on last season and this season.
Well, he didn't last that much longer, actually, because I don't think he was injured. But anyway, you saw that clash with Casado just barreling into him. And over he goes, and he's chuntering away at the referee and chuntering away as he comes off. What did you think about Jack Grealish, his performance up to that point anyway?
A lot of people said he played well, didn't he? Let me just check what I give him as a mark. I've got a mark on him there somewhere that I give him. Yeah, I mean, Simon Pekoski, give him a 7 out of 10. I give him a 6 out of 10. I thought it was okay. But again, is he ever going to score, Mike? This is the thing for me. When he pulls his foot back to have a go, I just don't get giddy about it because I know, you know, it's a bit like watching Kovacic until them two recent goals. I don't get all giddy about it when he has a shot at goal because he just don't go in. I just think it's pointless. And a player like Grealish, who has a quite, all right, he plays on the wing mainly, but he's not contributing goals. He's not even contributing that many assists, let's be fair about it. And that's what he should be doing. Overall, Pep has him doing a role, of course he does. But no, I was one of the only ones to stick up for him his first season with City, I think. I was saying he was better than people were giving him credit for. And of course, only when he had a decent second season, I was sort of saying, I don't think he's been as good. So, but yeah, I wasn't too worried because I think that was ideal time for Doku to come on, wasn't it? With, you know, 20 minutes, 25, 30 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if we were being described as jaded and leggy, that was like getting a shot of Iron Brew and straight into the blood vessels because, I mean, he keeps doing this.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's got to be on from the start sometime.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I don't think he's effective. Of course, don't forget Chelsea... All right, they make substitutions, but they'll be tiring a little bit, won't they, by the 70th minute if City are pulling them all over the pitch. They probably didn't do as much as we would do normally. So obviously, Doku gets the advantage that Grealish hasn't. If Grealish is on from the first minute, obviously he's playing against fresh legs. Doku's playing against jaded legs. But Yeah, it's just the contribution of Grealish that worries me now. I know what he does for Pep. I know he holds on to it. He sort of keeps it trundling along the ball. If he can't go anywhere, he'll put it back to someone else. Very rarely loses it. As a goal defensively as well, I'm quite happy defensively. He's probably slightly better than Doku defensively still. And he's 100% effort. And we do love him to bits as a player, but I just think at this stage he's not contributing where we need. Certainly now we're missing Mahrez and Gundogan. As far as goals and assists are concerned, he's certainly all right. He's had a poor season because he's been injured most of it, but he's not doing enough for me. And one thing we did miss, Mike, was that lovely old-fashioned shoulder charge of Walker on.
Oh,
Jackson,
yeah, by Kyle
it?
Walker.
Yeah. I thought it was just pushing it a little bit there. Of course, after they didn't get that first penalty, you might have thought that Oliver might have been a bit more keener to perhaps have a look at that one. But I put it as a hard but fair challenge. What did you think?
Well, how many times have you seen penalties given for the old argy-bargy shoulder charge? You know, when we were playing football as kids, and that was the common refrain from meme muckers, it's a fair shoulder charge, mate. Can't complain, it's a fair shoulder charge. That's what it was. A muscular, masculine approach, I think. But let's forget about your Grealish for a minute and talk about Doku. Let's talk Doku. Now, he was like in the first 5 minutes, like dribbling down that left, and he gave us a real shot in the arm, a real injection of pace and creativity, actually.
I think it woke us up. I think we'd played, I thought we were better in the second half, but pace wise, as I said, Chelsea had one or two little, I think that Foden one we talked about was a great little move from City, but that. They were few and far between in this game. And, of course, I thought Chelsea fizzed it about a little bit better than we did. And, of course, Doku was just a breath of fresh air because Chelsea, obviously, they didn't double up on him initially. What they did is obviously put a man on him and a man very close behind. So, obviously, it created a bit more space in behind. And it was ideal because, obviously, for the first time, we were putting him under some sort of pressure which allowed people like KDB and Bernardo's to be in and around the box. Because Bernardo had had a quite innocuous game, hadn't he? I thought he was a bit, again, not quite at it in this game. But I always want him in and around the box, as I said. And, of course, I think he teed up Alvarez first, didn't he, Doku? I think he passed it to Bernardo, and that was about the 80s. That was before the goal, a couple of minutes before. It was Rodri, wasn't it? He set up Rodri, who put it over to Bernardo, and then Alvarez came onto it and, again, sliced it wildly over the bar, according to the Guardian here. I just remember having me thinking, flipping out, just hit the target, Alvarez. You know, since that World Cup and the start he made for City after he came back, how many goals has he scored in the last few games he's played, Mike? He's not scored any, has he?
No.
Same way as Grealish has got to contribute, Alvarez as well. He's got at least hit this. Oh, he scored that one through the goalie's hands, didn't he? That game. But I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. So I've got a new nickname. I've got
Alvarez as well.
I've got a new nickname for Doku. You know? Do you want to know what it is? The alarm clock. I mean, have you ever been in that situation where you know it's 6-7 o'clock in the morning, you've got to get out for work, and then you wake up and
for work at 2 o'clock, mate. So it's not 2 o'clock in the morning.
Put yourself in the same position, but you look at the clock and you see you've got another half an hour before that alarm comes off. So you sort of drift off into, you know, lovely, beautiful, sleepy, and then suddenly clang, 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 clang. And it's like, whoa.
I don't think he knows what he's doing. That's the thing. He doesn't know what he's going to do. So how can a defender know what he's going to do? You know, he has a plan, and then he'll bounce the ball. And if he gets a little bit of luck and the ball bounces off the defender back to him, etc., that's what he plays on. I mean, against Real Madrid, they were quite lucky So he was doing a similar sort of thing. He was taking them on, and sometimes they were fortunate. The ball seemed to be bouncing the right way for Real Madrid. It didn't sort of bounce our way. But, of course, it's just people are going on raving about him again, aren't they? Everyone went off him for a few games, and now all of a sudden he's the best thing since sliced bread again. I'm a bit halfway in between. But as I said, we desperately needed that injection of pace that Doku gave us to sort of give Chelsea something to think about, because I think we were coming all a little bit too obvious in what we were doing.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea made a double substitution and things began to turn our way. I love these guys' names, honestly. Dizazzi and Mudrick, like a mudrake. And anyway, they hadn't been on. They'd hardly basically, you know, had a chance really to get into it. And then we got our goal, and it is redemption for Bernardo Silva. So, again, Doku was involved in this one too, wasn't he?
Yeah, obviously it's. I thought this was worth two goals. Actually, it was like 2 points in billiards and enough, wasn't it? Because people haven't said it. I mean, obviously it probably was on target, but obviously it really was Cucurella who scored it, wasn't it? Didn't it go in off his chest or something?
He didn't know much about that.
Went in off some part of his body anyway, but I think it was on target. So, of course, Bernardo got full credit. But I've said this, I don't know, I've lost count how many times I've said this about Bernardo. Get him in that box. He's one of the only guys who's willing to have a go. And when you're willing to have a go, you can get deflections. Anything can happen. That's why I like Bernardo in that situation. I don't want him ball carrying, you know, in our third of the pitch, which Pep has him doing sometimes, or even on the halfway line. I want him in and around the box where he can do these sort of things. As I say, there was a gap for him to put the ball in, but obviously his hit just fortunately hit Cucurella and went in the same place he should have put it anyway. So it didn't make any difference at all. But I think it was Doku fed De Bruyne, wasn't it? And then, of course, the keeper got something on it. Now, the keeper had held it. I don't know whether he probably could have done. Petrovic, wasn't it, the keeper? But he managed just to get a palm away from goal. But, of course, as I said, I want to see Bernardo winning around that six-yard box, 12 yards out. And that's where it went. And he just took it first time. No mess, no divering. No, you know, if that had been David Silva, he would probably try to beat two players before he put it in. He didn't diver. He just hit it, and we got a bit of a deflection. And I thought that, well, I was saying all game to my lad, it's just 1-0. It's got to be a 1-0 this. Whoever scores one, that's it. And it was. That was the end of that game.
Yeah, a killer blow for Chelsea. And I don't know, maybe this is their strategy with all that time wasting, because we've got 8 minutes stoppage time at the end. Maybe they think that that's the thing to do, like waste a lot of time in the game and get 10 minutes or 8 or 10 minutes added on at the end and kind of try to finish with a flourish. It didn't really work out for them, though, did it?
No, there's nothing much to shout out about, mate. Was there after the goal? Bob came on, of course, for Alvarez. One nice little pass. I remember him doing through the Chelsea player's legs. A nice little nutmeg to, I think it was KDB or someone at the time. Can't remember who it was, but that was it. I mean, I've got nothing else as far as incidents concerned. I mean, Kevin went over to the corner flag twice and lost it twice. I thought, well, if you're going to go over to the corner flag to waste time and get a corner, try and get a corner. But both times it ended up with Chelsea coming away with the ball. It was, I thought, you know, and obviously he's usually quite good at that, isn't he, Kevin? And Phil Foden's usually quite good at it. But so we tried to waste time, but it backfired. But they couldn't do anything anyway in that 8 minutes. I think he played about nine by the end of it, didn't he? But yeah. I think they might be a little bit aggrieved, but you've got to put the ball in the net, mate, haven't you? It's as simple as that. We did have more chances on the day. We had 14 shots to their 10. So you read the papers, you thought it was sort of one-way traffic from what the media were saying and the fans were saying. But, you know, we had more chances. We had more possession, far more passes. Percentage passing was far better, 89% to their 81%. Offsides was an interesting one. Three for us, two for them. Usually Chelsea like to have a few offsides because they play it quite close, don't they? With the, you know, they like to sit on the shoulder of the defenders and take that risk, but not too much this time. And of course, corners. We won on corners again, but we never score off a corner anyway, mate, do we these days? So that's pointless anyway. But yeah, I mean, as you say, you read the media. We were lucky to win it. You know, of course, it's all concentrating on the penalty shout. But didn't we have a potential? Oh no, it was when Casida sort of put his studs on Grealish, wasn't he? It could have perhaps been a second yellow, but Oliver's not going to give that one anyway. So I was happy with that. Yes, I wouldn't say Chelsea deserved to win. I thought Chelsea were playing for time from the outset. I thought first half, yes, they were better. I thought second half, we were better.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bernard, tell our fans who our opponents are in the final and how did they get on in their semi-final?
It was unbelievable, mate. I don't watch United. I've never, since the 80s, when I used to watch him, hoping he'd get beat in big games, because we'd have nothing to cheer about, did we? And I was so disappointed watching City in those days, the 80s, the 90s, the olds, that I couldn't face being disappointed watching United beat teams as well. So I just don't watch United. I just don't. I'm not interested. And of course, I was doing some work upstairs and I knew it was 2-0. Obviously, I go on Twitter and stuff to have a look at X, should I say, not Twitter. I go on X to have a look at stuff and then it was 3-0. And I thought, oh, well, that's the end of that. And then you see sort of odd comments then, don't you? You know it's getting towards full time and someone had wrote like, oh, what's going on here? And flipping out was, you know, and you think, oh, right, something's happening. And I don't go on and look at the score itself. I like to watch other people's comments, you know, because you get the gist on social media as to what's happening without actually going on and checking the score on your computer. And then I saw it was 3-3 and I'm like, good God. Anyway, so I watched extra time. But again, I was disappointed because I didn't shout when that goal went in because I just thought, of course, he looked as though the guy, he could be offside. And you know what, VAR, I mean, that is horrible. I mean, that reminds me of City and Spurs, didn't it, you, Mike? The joy of that game. And those poor Coventry fans to be denied by someone painting the lines over someone's toe rather than the edge of his toe. It's... do you think that was right, mate? Do you think there's a conspiracy gone on there?
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously there is.
I've seen images of where the line is actually physically over. It bumps because it's going over the boot, end of the boot rather than at the toe. So, but I don't know if they've been redone to look like that. I don't know. I have no idea. But if it is, it's very scary. What can be done? And wasn't there a change in the offside that if it was... not obvious, it goes with the attacker. I thought that was the rule.
That was my understanding as well. But
close, you know, even the line said it was sort of might be offside. If it's so close that there's not an error, you know, if it's not been given on the pitch, if it's so close like that, you don't have to overrule the referee and the linesman. It should have stood as a goal, but that's United, mate. I mean, you know, they've been having this luck since the 1950s in big games. You know, it's just one of those things. That's why I just hope we bury them at Wembley because we know they could nick something like that off us. They're quite capable. And of course, poor Coventry, you had to feel for the fans. It would have been nice to see a sky blue. Then again, I've never forgiven Mike. I put it on. So I've never forgiven for attacking the main stand when we played Coventry in the FA Cup many moons ago. For some reason, the Coventry fans started attacking the main stand. Not the Kippax. He wouldn't come over to the Kippax. He started attacking the main stand. And, of course, a lot of City fans from the Kippax were trying to get over to help out the main stand, help out the main stand at the end of the game. I think we'd beat them 2-0 or something. I can't remember the specific game. And I was sort of with my lad and we were looking at it and this copper sort of just took his baton out of his thing. I said, all right, mate, I'm not running over to join in. You can calm down. But so I've never quite forgiven for that. But yeah, it was a horrible way to lose it, and especially with the penalties. You just knew the momentum then was back with United. And of course, despite missing the first one, he did a Bernardo, didn't he? Old... what's he called, the rat face, whatever he is. Sorry, Casemiro. He did a Bernardo sort of Panenka, didn't he? I don't know what that was, but of course all the others scored, so it didn't matter. But yeah, gutted for Coventry, but we know United of all, mate. They have a way of doing these things, don't they, in these big games?
Well, I don't know. I'm not really into conspiracy theories, but I mean, the appeal of an old Manchester final has got to be in the minds of some of these officials. But on the subject of Coventry, this will take you back, Bernard. Do you remember when they used to have a shirt that was very similar in colour to ours with these curved sort of black stripes on either side. It was like they were the only other team with a shirt that was kind of similar to ours. Maybe you don't remember that, but I remember that in the late 1970s. But
I was unfortunate. Look at the shirt they wore. Yes, they've not always worn stripes. They've obviously worn sky blue like us. It's always been. And I always remember, of course, when...
No, it wasn't stripes. It was sort of like a... It was basically...
They tend to wear stripes. Sometimes they wear blue and white stripes, don't they, like they did for this game. But, of course, normally it's just sky blue like ours, isn't it? As you said, usually with a dark trim, I think. That's the only thing that's kept them separate. And I always remember, of course, when we lost to Tottenham in the 81 FA Cup final. I think, didn't they play them the year after and beat them?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, it was nice to see a sky blue team beating them the year after. But I've been to Coventry a few times. I've not been to the new ground. I went to the old place 4 or 5 times, and it was always a nice place to go. Never any trouble or anything like that. I think that's what surprised us when they attacked the fans at Main Road all them years ago, because it's not the sort of place you. Coventry, it wasn't the sort of place you worried about going as far as trouble was concerned. It was quite laid back, but I remember I couldn't believe it at the time. What were they doing? You know, they're not like that. They're not like that, Coventry. But, of course, they must have been.
Well, up next, Bernard, is, if I'm not mistaken, Brighton.
Yeah, good old Brighton.
And you don't pronounce that T there. You have to go Brighton.
Yeah, it's the old joke, isn't it, of playing two teams. You have to play Brighton and Hove Albion. Well, that's an old joke, mate. It wasn't funny when it was first said, I don't think. It's probably no better now. Well, I'm off to this one, Mike, so I've got my ticket today. So I'll be at it. I think this is the third, three out of the last four seasons I managed to get a ticket for Brighton.
Will you be driving down there on your scooter wearing your parka, like the mod revival?
Well, I remember being on the front last year, because it was a game before, it was a penultimate game, wasn't it, of course, after we'd won the league, and I was drinking a couple of pints of Blue Moon on the seafront there. I remember last, it was lovely and warm. I'm not too sure it'll be as nice this time, unfortunately, but we are stopping at the pier with this supports club coach, so we do stop around the pier, so I had a good wander around last year to have a look, because I've never had that opportunity before. I think the year before, I think we literally got straight to the ground. I had to leg it in because we were quite late. So, I might have a stroll up the beach. But, interesting team, aren't they? I think they missed McAllister this season. I think the loss of McAllister was a big, big blow. I like McAllister. I think he's a good player. And I think De Zerbi, although he's gotten playing some nice football still, he's had a lot of injuries. Apparently, the injury list is in double figures at the moment. But they've had 12 days rest as well, Mike. They've not played this. When they play us, they would have had 12 days rest. So it's a bit like Madrid. So hopefully, for them, they might get two or three players back or in contention to start again. But they're so inconsistent, Mike. They're 10th, so they're halfway. They're 10th. They're not going to get to Europe this year. They got absolutely stuffed, didn't they, by Roma. 4-0, and then obviously won the home leg 1-0, so went out 4-1 on aggregate in the round of 16 in Europe. But De Zerbi, they play some nice football, and I remember last year, I thought, to be honest with you, we were lucky to get away with a 1-1 draw. I know we'd already won the league, so it didn't really matter, but it's not going to be easy, but I don't think they're quite as good as last year, but then again, neither are we.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least this time we'll get sort of 5 or 6 days rest, because I tell you what, Bernard, after that semi-final against Chelsea, Pep did his best Ray Bubbles impression. He went on a right rant about the he really went on a long rant about why Coventry and Man United and got an extra day, and Chelsea, you know, had a big rest, and City were like straight after the Champions League quarterfinal, just at 3 days until this one that we've talked about, and it wouldn't have killed them to have given us an extra day, would it?
No, but when have they done us any favours, mate? When have the authorities done City any favours. All right, we can talk conspiracy theories, can't we? But as you say, there's no logic. There's no logic for anything. Even, you know, they don't do it for the fans. They don't worry about the fans with these games getting to places. I mean, of course, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff at Brighton on a night game. So if I'm home for 3 o'clock, four o'clock, I'll be happy on of course Friday morning. I mean, the fans don't count. And, of course, as far as City are concerned, you know, you think of what Real Madrid... I mean, Real Madrid had a nine-day rest before we played them in that first game. So they had 9 days off, if you like. And if you think our problem is, we're too successful, mate. We're just, you know, of course, we've got a couple of... Well, we've got 7 days gaps, I think, between after Forest. I think, of course, you've got a bit of a gap because that's when the Champions League semi-finals should have been taking place. So it's our own fault, really, for getting knocked out of the semi-finals that we've got such a long rest. So it's no help from anyone else. Just mm-hmm. us being absolutely useless against Real Madrid. That you know, but yeah, I don't expect anything, Mike, and we never really get it. And I think Pep, the fact that he said it when we won a game is probably good. It's probably the right time to say it. Not that the media would have stuck up for him. Everyone's been slagging him off, media and fans of other clubs, of course. But, yeah, I think he can see in this City team. I think he knows certain players are struggling. You know, the Rodri's and the KDB to something. I mean, KDB, don't forget KDB. He had seven months off?
And the BBC gave him man of the match for this game.
Oh, well, I don't. That's Jermaine Jenas, though, wants it, mate. I mean, I don't know. You can put what he knows about football on the back of a cigarette packet. You know, it's no. Yeah, we laughed at the ground. We laughed at Wembley. I don't even think the City fans cheer because they just couldn't believe that he'd come up with KDB. I don't think we even, you know, might have been a few tourists cheered because of KDB, but most seasoned City fans probably just looked aghast at that. But as I said, even KDB, who's missed a lot of the season, of course, he's never perhaps really got that 100% match fit. I don't know, perhaps he's been playing catch-up, but I think the change in Rodri the last few games, his performances sort of highlight that it's been a struggle this season. It's been a lot of pressure on City, and we've done incredibly well to get as far as we have. And of course, we've done incredibly well still to win with a chance of two trophies. But there are people on the internet have been saying this could be the anti-treble this year, or the devil's treble, because it could end up that the team we beat, Real Madrid, could end up winning that. Of course, the team we beat in the league, Arsenal, could end up winning that. And, of course, the team we beat in the FA Cup, United, could end up winning that, and we could end up with nothing. And it would be the anti-treble, the 666 treble, you know, where we've obviously punished for last year's joy, and we get the total opposite this season. But
you're giving me nightmares.
I know. Well, this is it. That's the anti-treble. It is what it is. But I think Pep, there must be a problem, mate. I don't think he would have come out with that unless he knows that it's having an effect. And he won't change anything, I can't imagine. But it doesn't do any harm to get it out there, does it? It doesn't do any harm to put these things in play. It's like Ferguson with referees, wasn't it? He used to say things to make them so when they come to Old Trafford the next time, they'd be a bit kinder. He was very clever at that, forced him to do things by raising points. And perhaps Pep is trying to get the FA to think a little bit more when they're looking at our fixture schedules and things like that. But as I said, it's probably because we're just it's punishment for being successful. That's just as it is. And we've always gone from it. Occasionally, Pep's give up on a game. You know, he's give up on a semi-final. He's played a weaker team. But, you know, some other teams drop out of stuff just to concentrate. And Pep's generally had a go at everything. You know, we know perhaps the Carabao Cup he's forgot about a little bit now, but you know, he's tried to keep us in most things, and it's very hard to do. And as you say, they're still coming up with the two world class players for every position, you know, and we've got three goalkeepers in a squad of 19, so how can we have two players for every position? You know, it's just ludicrous from the media and other fans, but. But is Pep, what do you think, Pep? I've not heard anything about Pep extending yet, mate. Are you getting a bit worried about that? Do you think he'll be off?
No, I don't think so. I haven't heard anything about it.
We had rumours that Cheeky was going, haven't we, the last few days?
Yeah, but not from particularly reliable sources that you'd respect.
Yeah,
but guys, I've just got a message from the BBC saying that they think that me and Bernard are jaded and leggy. So I think we'll probably leave it here. And we'll be back with you guys after Bernard does his, channels Quadrophenia down there at Brighton. And we'll do a pod straight after that. As for me, let's edit this up and get it out as fast as possible. So I think we'll say goodbye to Bernard temporarily for now. And we'll finish off in the normal way by saying, have one on us. And up the blues!
Up the super blues.